The gospel lesson today is from Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. And just to put this in a little bit of context, in the first part of Mark's gospel, we find Jesus being baptized and then going out into the wilderness where he was tempted by the evil one. And then he did some miracles in Capernaum and in that vicinity. And then we come to the text for today in Mark 1, 39, or 29 to 39. It says this: as soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick and possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, when it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is searching for you." And Jesus answered, "Let's go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is why I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, when I was reading this text, the song by Kenny Rogers came to mind, The Gambler. The words go something like this: you've got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. I'm not suggesting that Jesus was a gambler, but he seems to have the ability to know when to stay or when to leave, when to go. In the text for today, we found Jesus healing Simon Peter's mother-in-law on a Sabbath day. And then after dark, when Sabbath was over, people lined up outside the house and he healed a variety of diseases or released those who were possessed by evil spirits. One translation says the whole city was lined up at the door. You know, so just kind of imagine that situation. It wasn't even his house. It was Simon and Andrew's house. And Simon's mother-in-law was there. Now that raises some other interesting questions, doesn't it? I'd never noticed that it was also Andrew's house. But I wonder how that was working out for all of them. At any rate, Simon's mother-in-law had a fever, and then a crowd gathered at the door. So was that a good thing or a bad thing? If the whole city was gathered outside your door, how would that be for you? Would that be a good thing or a bad thing? It appears that Jesus tended to those who came to him until it was late at night, and then early in the morning, before the sun was up, he went out to a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. Have you ever felt like that? The demands of people or work and life get to the point where they're just a little too much for you to handle and you just want to get away. Sue can be like that sometimes when she's an office manager, and someday she'll come home and she'll say, you know, if anybody calls, I'm not here. You know, I've been on the phone all day, I've been dealing with this issue and that issue. I don't want to talk to anybody tonight, so thank you very much. Perhaps there are times when you are like Sue. I don't want to talk to another person today. I just want to crash. I think it's fair to say that most of us get to a place like that every now and then in our lives. And most of us crash at home, watch a movie or something on television. Jesus found a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. I don't know how many of you make time every day for daily prayer or meditation, but studies do show that 10 to 15 minutes a day of quiet prayer and meditation will extend your life. Years ago, when I had my annual physical with the former doctor, he always gave me a list of things to do to live longer and better. Regular aerobic exercise, 150 minutes a week, or 10,000 steps a day measured by a pedometer. Mediterranean diet, or 5 servings of fruit and vegetables daily. Keep your weight under control, body mass index below 30. 10 minutes of silence, relaxation, prayer, or meditation. Yeah, I always found that interesting. And my reading about health and fitness and diet and all of those things reiterates the importance of 10 to 15 minutes of uninterrupted silence, prayer, meditation on a daily basis. It calms the mind. It slows the heart. It reduces blood pressure. All positive effects on body and spirit. Pay attention to your breathing. Breathe in slowly, hold it for a few seconds, and slowly let it out. With your eyes closed, I would suggest focusing on a simple phrase or a psalm or a Bible verse. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. May the peace of Christ fill my heart, or God be with me today. Be still and know that I am God, or something like that. Lord, hear my prayer. Meditation and prayer was a very important part of Jesus' ministry. It helped him stay focused on his mission and his purpose. So what happened next in the text is very interesting, because when the sun came up and the crowds again gathered at the door, Jesus was gone. Peter and the others began to look for him, to try to find him. And when they did, they said, "Everyone is looking for you," kind of like in a panic, you know, "you got to come and help, you know." And what did Jesus say? "Let's go somewhere else. I don't want to go back. Let's go somewhere else. That's why I've come. Let's go to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." And then he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. In some ways, it sounds a little out of character for Jesus. People came looking for him, and he said, "Let's go someplace else." There's something enticing about the need to be needed. We all want people to like us, and there's something fulfilling in a way of being needed. You know, it's wonderful when people call you and say, "Can you help? I've got this issue or that problem. Can you help?" But Jesus, in this sense, said, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, for that is why I have come." It seems that Jesus didn't come to preach and heal those and do his ministry in one place. Jesus' purpose was laid out plainly. His purpose was in his purpose, according to the chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, his purpose was laid out plainly to proclaim the good news of God. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God, or the reign of God, has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That's what Jesus came to do, to proclaim good news that the reign of God was near. The miracles, the casting out of demons, the healing touch, his compassion were all signs of that coming kingdom. It wasn't far off, years away, or after we die. It was here and now. And the things that he did were evidence of the things that the prophets in the Old Testament had talked about, what the new reign of God would look like and be like. It was the good news of God's love and grace extended to all who would hear it and receive it in their hearts. He presented a new way to God that bypassed the temple sacrifices and religious rituals. It was a way of relationship, not ritual. It was a way of love, not legalism. It was a way of welcome and inclusion rather than exclusion. It was a way of grace, not guilt or shame. The key thing here that I see in the text is that Jesus knew his purpose, his mission, and he was not going to be deterred from it. His mission or a message of the reign of God in the here and now was very different from the law and the ritual of the common religious practices of the day. Temple worship and sacrifice wasn't the point. The point was turning one's heart toward a relationship with God. That's what repentance is about. It's coming home to be in God's presence forever, beginning right now. For those who were steeped in the religious ritual and practices of the day, this was a strange and hard message, a hard message to grapple with. And we see Jesus arguing with those religious folk of his day who were hung up on the ritual rather than the relationship. I think that we churchy folk today get caught up in the ritual and traditions too. We lose sight of the relationships that Jesus talked about and developed. We get caught up with sanctuary worship as though that's what being a follower of Jesus means. And we lose sight of the world outside our doors that is hurting and in need of healing and hope. Zoom worship is okay, but it's not quite like being together face to face. Yet I wonder if this might be an opportunity for us churchy folk to take a step back and take another look at what following Jesus might mean in 2021, in this time of pandemic. Perhaps it's an opportunity to rethink and redo how we do church going forward. Soren Kierkegaard, Danish philosopher, told about a wild goose who went to live with domesticated geese. He did that, Kierkegaard says, in order to liberate them from a life of mediocrity, where the food was rich and life was easy. And even though it was a bit dull and limited by the farmer's grim purposes, he lived there until he himself was tame. And every year when the geese would fly overhead, honking as they do, he would flutter his wings and rise a bit, and resolve to join them one day. But he never did. Instead, he was content to stay with the other flightless birds where the food was rich and life was easy. The Church of Jesus Christ lives in peril of becoming like that once wild goose. Christianity was never intended to be cooped up in one place that was comfortable, where things never changed. Christianity was intended to be dynamic and life-changing, always moving forward and looking for ways to feed the hungry, grieve with those who grieve, clothe the naked, heal the sick, give hope to those in despair, seek justice and show mercy. Those are the things that Jesus did and taught his disciples to do. And that is the mission of the church. That is what it means to live into the reign of God on earth as it is in heaven. It would have been very easy for Jesus to go back with Peter and the others to meet with those who came looking for him in Capernaum. But he knew that his mission was not the way of ease and comfort, the familiar, but the way of challenge and change, always looking forward to what lie ahead. All of us need to find that quiet place where we can be alone with God to pray, to develop that clarity of mission and purpose. We also need to gather together as a community to encourage each other in the journey that is our mission, so that we will not grow tired and weary, but rather be renewed and reborn. But that said, the call of God is always for us to go out and to carry the light of Christ with us to new people, to try new things. Let's pray for clarity of mission and purpose, and then put feet on those prayers. Let's go and let's do. Amen.